Brian's a mutie. He's keeping it close to his chest.
I didn't say he was a mutie. I don't believe he is a mutie.
Can't tell these days. What's the big interest in Ryan all of a sudden, anyhow?
I felt sorry for him.
Feel sorry for Strasser. Otherwise, shut it.
In front of him, as though magicked there, was a tiny sliver of plastique, on which was a spiderweb crosshatching of fine wire connected to a couple of chip housings, plus a keying device about the size of a quarter thumbnail. J.B. stared at it, his thin lips very slightly curved.
Christ, J.B., you look almost cheerful.
The miracles of pre-nuke science.
You sure it'll work?
Is that a joke?
No, J.B. I mean, yeah.
They were very sophisticated in the 1990s. This is a neat little number. The detonator's attuned to it. All I have to do is build it, key it, blow it. Of course, I did throw in a couple of extras.
He began packing away his bits and pieces, pulled on and laced up his boots, and got to his feet. The others followed suit with their boots and belts.
Here it is. I want two guys down here at least. That gives us two auto rifles plus any handguns they have. Could make do with one, but pray for two. They gotta be looking through the window. Doesn't matter if they don't come in. Don't want them in. Just need them looking for a couple of sec men, and we got them. After that, we move fast. If we can reach the street level, we've got a chance. Hunniker, you and me first. Grab the pieces and go. Sam, call. Pick over the bodies. Spare mags, grenades, knives, anything. Got it? Let's do it.
There's some idiot using a mallet inside my skull. I think he's fixing fence posts. Every few seconds, whomp. And there's a bunch of crazies playing tug-of-war with the muscles in my arms and legs. But that's not as bad as the cretin who's marching around my body. No, I take that back. Maybe swimming along my arteries, jabbing a knife into various key places. Well, mainly my ribs. Not to mention that some clown seems to be eating into the small of my back. Apart from that, I'm fine.
Check.
Ryan froze. Physically not a difficult operation because he was hogtied anyway, lying on his left side like a strained bow, his wrist and ankles tightly laced together behind him. But it was more a mental shock, a freezing of the mind. What he just croaked out had been involuntary. He hadn't realized he was speaking aloud. He hadn't even realized the girl was awake.
I thought they cracked you over the skull when we got outside.
That had been when she'd suddenly, outside the bank building and in the harsh glare of the floods, managed to backheel the groin of one of the sec men holding her. Ryan had decided then and there that she was pretty good with her heels. The sec man had yowled and let her go. She then twisted away from the second man and started sprinting across the open space toward the three black vans parked near the barbed wire. Strasser had yelled a warning, and three sec men had emerged from behind the trucks and clobbered her. Ryan and Christy had been left on the ground for maybe a half hour, Ryan getting more and more chilled by the minute, not to mention more and more panicky about the time factor that only he knew about. Then they'd been flung into the rear of one of the trucks, and the doors had banged. No need for guards, Strasser had said. Waste of manpower. They weren't going to be able to free themselves to go anywhere.
They did hit me over the head, but I have great powers of recuperation.
Ow.
Anyhow, thanks.
Thanks?
I was going to say for getting my head off the block, but maybe for getting my ass off the block is more to the point.
Look, I should have stopped those bastards before things got too rough. I could have. There were other considerations. I'm sorry.
I know. It doesn't matter. Forget it. Life's too short.
He thought back to when she had actually been tied down to that foul block. She had not struggled, had not screamed, or even whimpered once Strasser's intent was clear. Ryan was surprised, contemplating this, to realize that there had been a degree of serenity about her at that terrible time, as now. It was a strange yet oddly comforting aura of calm that seemed to surround her like a cloak. He hadn't analyzed it then, too many other things to worry about, but he recognized it now as he reran the scene in his mind. Such serenity at such a time seemed to him almost supernatural.
You didn't seem too worried back there.
I knew Earth Mother was watching over me.
I guess you realize your Earth Mother isn't going to save you every time.
No, you don't understand. It's not a question of saving. Earth Mother is not a physical presence. She doesn't appear in a flash of light, brandishing an M16. She just is. At times, that's comforting. There have been occasions when I've been stark crazy with fear and panic. Other times when it feels okay, feels right. Feels like it's not going to work out too bad. That's how I felt then.
How's it feel now? I could do with some reassurance.
Oh, I think we'll make out, don't you?
Ow, my ribs. Don't make me laugh, please.
The truck lurched over something in the road, a rock or a pothole or maybe a small animal, and Ryan went up in the air and down again, landing on his wrists. Shafts of agony lanced up his arms. His shoulder blade felt seriously out of kilter for a second.
Ah! Maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea if your Earth mother did appear waving a piece. Because unless they untie me, I think we're in deep shit. I hadn't counted on the bastards lacing us up. Didn't seem necessary. Thought they were just gonna shove us in with a bunch of armed goons.
He didn't tell her that. Hogtied as they were, he thought their chances of surviving were precisely nil. Untied, he had options. Like this, he might as well be a fish in a barrel.
I think I can get my wrists free. Where are they taking us exactly?
To the trader first. I guess Strasser wants to get him out of the way before moving onto the train. Always a chance our guys may wake up, and if he gets inside the war wagon trucks before that happens, he's laughing. But no way is that talking skull gonna hijack all that materiel. Right about now, JB should be blasting his way out of the bank. Unless the goons tied him and Hun and the others up, which I doubt.
Blasting?
Yeah. Strict policy. All of us since way back are stuffed to the gills with explosives. At least the means of creating explosives. An idea I had years ago. Worked it out with JB. Just in case we get caught by bad guys, we have all kinds of shit concealed in our clothes, our boots, our webbing. The bad guys take our pieces off us. Grenades, knives, all that. The obvious. They don't bother to look at our boots for false inner soles or check every stitch, every button. Some of us have big plastique cord buttons on our long coats. Others have wiring sewn into special pouches. You can't even feel it. Don't worry about JB. He'll make out.
Now I know why your bunch is talked about like it is. As special people. That's forward planning.
It's no big deal. It's called survival. These days you need all the help you can think up.
Right. In this wonderful country where you could probably live your entire life without getting raped, abducted, murdered, eaten, without seeing a... what did you call it? Plague pit?
Great memory you've got. In any case, it's still true. But when you're in our kind of business, even when you have a fierce rep, doesn't do any harm to take precautions. And all this crap just proves my point. How the hell did Strasser manage to get his hands on you anyway?
I didn't keep taking the tablets. Your medic kept giving me tabs, said they'd calm me. I didn't want to be calm, so I didn't take them. She kept saying it was crazy to think of heading on for the Darks. How was I going to do it? How was I going to travel? All that. So, when she breezed off, I snuck out and hitched a lift.
You what?
You had two container rigs, Arctic. I climbed aboard one of them. It was getting dark, so no one spotted me. When the convoy parked, I slipped off into some bushes. I watched you drive out in the buggy, thought of hitching onto that, but there aren't too many handholds. So I walked to Moxon. Had to keep in cover because a lot of buggies started passing me, heading out of town, back the way I'd come.
Yeah, backup for the guys Strasser already had watching the train, the guys watching us.
Then I bumped into some kind of patrol on the outskirts. They were all right at first. Oafish, but all right. I could handle them. What they couldn't figure out was where I'd sprung from. So I told them I was with the trader, with you. I mean, I figured that was okay. But then they started getting heavy, pushing me around. I told them that if they didn't quit pissing me off, they were going to be in deep with the trader. And that was when it hit me that maybe I hadn't been so smart. They started laughing, told me to forget about the trader. He was finished. Everyone with him was kaput. No more traitor. I got a touch of the horrors then because they seemed so sure of themselves.
They took you to Strasser?
Yeah, he's... Ryan, he gives me a chill. Maybe I was stupid. I didn't really take in what you said about him. All that shit about getting off on pain, humiliation, perversion. But it's in his eyes. At times they're like, I don't know, no feeling, no emotion. Like pebbles on a beach. He said, well, among a lot of other things, he said I'd be a fine taster before the main course. I guess I must have panicked because I didn't feel the presence of Earth Mother right then and there. Not at all. Not for one damn second. He had a bag with him with, shit, really weird gear in it. Nozzles, rubber tubes, plastic spatulas, shit like that. But before he could get really busy, some guy rushed in and gave him a message. Then he said maybe I'd be more useful for the moment. Unblemished.
Must have been when they told him I was on the loose somewhere.
After that, it was okay. I got my head together. Sometimes I can cut off, that helps. I guess you think that was all pretty dumb.
On the contrary. If it wasn't for the fact that we're shackled up like this, it could have been the smartest thing you've ever done.
I don't get you.
You really don't know, do you? Of course you don't know. You weren't there. Strasser gassed the train. Leastways, that's what he says, and I see no reason to disbelieve him. We're all that's left. You and me for sure, JB and the rest, probably. And the traitor and the other guys on the convoy. They've been tranquilized, but I don't know for how long. And their survival is entirely dependent on me getting my blasted hands free. And even then it's gonna be touch and go because... Wait, the truck's slowing down.
The truck lurched to a halt, engine throbbing. After maybe a half minute, the rear doors of the truck were unhitched and flung open. Kelber's face leered in at them.
Okay. You boys control yourselves. Here we go.
Hunniker zipped down her jump jacket to open it. Underneath, she wore two sweatshirts, which she tugged up for a second, exposing her breasts. They were small, but full and round. A fine sheen of sweat glistened on her skin. Cole stared at her and swallowed. She pulled the two sweatshirts some more, loosening them, then covered herself again.
That's about all you'll ever get, Cole. A visual. Okay, ready for the off.
Don't forget your ears.
You're as bad as the old man.
She went to the door and looked out the barred window. She knew she had to play this one carefully, not overdo it. It would be easy to throw out the come hither in a cutesy pie voice, but that right now was not going to work.
Hey, there's anyone up there, I want to talk. Ryan's got a booby trap on him ready to blow.
Well, that's original.
There was silence. Cole licked his lips, stared at the back of Hunniker's head, at the green hair cropped short and tight. He glanced at Samantha, locked eyes with the black girl for a couple of seconds, raised an eyebrow. Sam leaned back against the wall and clasped her hands together in front of her. Cole noticed that she began twining her fingers restlessly. JB stared at the opposite wall. As usual, it was impossible to tell what he was thinking.
Hey, this is for real!
Yeah, I hear them. They're coming.
Shut the fuck up, bitch, or you'll get hurt bad.
Uninspired. We already know that.
I got something on Ryan. Strasser don't know about it.
Is she bullshitting?
What, do I look like a fucking precog to you?
Fuck you. Let's go check it out.
All right. But fuck you, too.
Hunniker moved away from the bars. The sec man came nearer. Carson, who had not had a wash and brush up in the interim, was in front. And behind him, the man called Ferd.
If there's some kind of fuck-up and Strasser finds out we knew about it all along, he'll have us eaten.
You just be ready to shoot the shit out of these monkeys. I don't trust them.
Carson peered cautiously into the cell from the side.
Fuck a duck?
What?
He moved around so he could get a better view, his eyes flickering to the right, and taking in the slumped figures on the floor. In the split second he took in this part of the scene, he noted that although he could see both the blonde guy's hands, he couldn't see those of the man called Dix, who appeared to be lying on them in a hunched kind of way. But this didn't seem to be in any way significant, so his gaze whipped back to where the green-haired young woman was lounging against the wall, her head back, her eyes half closed, her lips parted. One hand held her shirt up, and Carson could see her right breast. The other breast was half hidden beneath the busy lips of the black girl who was leaning across her from the side.
Shit.
Let me see.
Ferd stared too, but his face was darkening as he watched. He was marginally less stupid than Carson, and tended not to take everything at face value.
This is crap. There's something up. Hey, you with the tits!
Are you talking to me? I can't hear you very well. I'm wearing earplugs.
What? Why are you wearing...
Thanks, ladies. Fascinating and informative.
Shut it! Let's move!
I said move! Out! Come on, come on! Hurry up out of there!
Kelber jabbed at Christy and Ryan with one hand, and two other sec men vaulted up into the truck and proceeded to roll them out. Ryan forced himself to relax as much as possible, which wasn't a lot in the time he had, about a half second. And as he hit the ground, he managed to shove himself with his boots so that for a second he hopped on them before keeling over sideways. That broke his fall. What terrified him was landing hard on his shoulder or arm and cracking it. That would truly write Fini, as the Lost Language said, across any possibility of ultimate survival. Talking to Christy, though bruised and battered and wrench-tied as he was, had had the effect of soothing him, calming him when he needed calm most. Now he felt not too bad. Not too bad at all. At least the idiot who'd been using his brain as an anvil seemed to be tiring of the sport. Above him was a pale red moon, not full, but nearly so. Up there, so he'd heard and read somewhere, were orbital stations careering endlessly around the world. Full of old bones now, their crews long, long dead. They might hurtle like that forever, until the universe contracted. Or maybe they were sinking all the time, orbiting lower and lower as each century passed, and at a certain time would all at once be gripped by the planet's gravitational pull and would bucket down through the layers of atmosphere, exploding into fireballs, raining death and destruction on a world that was choked already with death and destruction. It was chilly. Far away, high and to his right, he caught a glitter of fire in the sky and thought perhaps he was possibly clairvoyant. But it was only a chem cloud, spontaneously combusting. More clouds gathered, cloaking the moon. An eerie scarlet glow illuminated the land. A warm rain began to fall. Strasser appeared above him, looming tall, a gaunt skeleton in a long coat with skirts flapping in the breeze.
Unhobble them.
Someone leaned down and across, and Ryan glimpsed a blade, felt his bonds being tugged at. Then his legs were free as they straightened out in an automatic jerk, and his circulation began to shift into high once more. Hands gripped his arms, his shoulders, and heaved him. He staggered to his feet, wincing at the shafts of agony that flared up and down his legs.
Pain cleans you, Ryan. Flushes you out. Renews you. That's long been a theory of mine.
Strasser stared at him from under hooded eyes. Ryan stared back, and thought of the sequence of events to follow. First the main train, then the convoy. He could now do nothing whatsoever about the train. Too much time had elapsed. But in his heart of hearts, he knew this was how it was going to be. And this was how he wanted it. He knew that whatever happened, the train must go. Better this way, yes. But the convoy was next, and that too would go, or most of it, because there was no way that he could do what needed to be done all at once. And the time element was so tight.
I still have the box, Ryan, and we can still use what's inside it right here and now. It makes no difference to me.
What the hell do I get out of this, Strasser? My life?
Hardly.
So?
Well, a bullet in the back of the skull is a far more pleasant method of dying than any number of ways that I could think of. A quick and happy release from the cares and worries of this world, rather than an extremely slow, extremely lingering, and extremely unhappy one.
That's not a great deal of choice you're offering.
No choice at all. But still worth a good deal, Ryan. Believe me.
The rain was getting to be slightly heavier. Very large water droplets that thudded down on Ryan's unprotected head, though it was not yet a downpour. This was scrubby terrain for the most part, although across the road were trees, a sprawling coppice that offered shelter if only he could reach it. But to get there, he would have to sprint all out with only a few bushes between it and at least 15 guys, all weaponed up, all ready to kill. It could be done, especially in this light, but not with hands secured behind his back. Not even a charge of adrenaline surging through him could boost him for that length of run while his balance was shot to hell. Strasser's truck was parked on the road, near two other trucks and three buggies. Presumably, these were the vehicles that had passed Christie earlier. The convoy was behind him. War Wag 1, two container rigs, and an armored truck were parked back-to-back in a circle facing outward. War Wag 1 faced the road, which was handy, if all went well. Beside the war wag stood another of Strasser's trucks, close to the huge vehicle. Although Ryan couldn't see it, he knew there were men inside, peering in at the war wag's cab, watching for any sign of life from those inside, any twitch or jerk that would signal an awakening. He glanced to the east. A few clicks up the road was the land wag train. Those on it would never waken.
Tell me one thing, Strasser. Where'd you get the nerve gas?
Don't piss around, Ryan. You're in no position.
No, really. It's been bothering me. It isn't going to hurt you to tell me.
The weirdo with the steel eye. Now move it!
The weirdo with the steel eye. the shadowy figure who was akin to the bogeyman mothers warned their kids about. The guy very few people had ever seen. The guy who sometimes called himself the Warlock, sometimes the Magus. The guy who was said to be able to appear in two places at once. The guy who had a liking, once in a blue moon, for suddenly appearing in far-flung locales, handing out fantastic, sometimes wildly grotesque trade goods that no one could ever figure out how to use, and then disappearing as mysteriously as he'd come. The guy the trader said had to be sitting on a major stockpile, although the way he actually used whatever he was sitting on seemed to be a strong argument for saying he was off his goddamned head. So he had nerve gas. It figured. It also figured that he should have presented it to Jordan Teague, probably on a plate. He seemed to take a positive delight in creating mischief, usually of the more malevolent kind.
Ryan?
What about the girl?
What about her?
What does she get?
Ryan, why are you wasting time like this? Can it be that you know something I don't?
Ryan knew that it was time. Now. Only 3 or 4 minutes had elapsed since he and Christy had been rolled out of the truck, but all at once, he knew that he had to get free, and fast.
Okay, let's do it.
Well?
My hands?
Just tell us what to press, Ryan. What to pull, what to touch, what not to touch. Just tell us.
Not as easy as that. One mistake and you're dead. We're all dead.
Ryan could see Strasser mentally wrestling with the notion of having him walking loose with his hands free. The gaunt man thrust his parchment-colored face close, his eyes blazing.
The girl suffers, Ryan, if you do anything stupid. I promise you. I'll keep the bitch alive for a year. Guard, cut him!
Ryan winced as a blade began scraping away at his bound wrists. The guy didn't seem to give a damn where he cut. He had barely touched the actual binds yet.
You fucking idiots!
Ryan jerked his head up as Strasser whipped around. The sec men holding Christy were holding her no longer. Instead, one was on the ground, and the other clutching his groin, his mouth sagging. The thought shot through Ryan's brain that Christy sure knew where to hurt a guy, and then he realized she was free. Not only free, but deadly. She'd snatched an auto rifle and was dancing away, firing at sec men who sought to grab her, sec men who jerked backward in sequence as lead hammered them away from her. Three down, but her way was clear.
Meddling cunt!
Strasser dragged out the automatic pistol at his belt. In the bad light, it looked to be a vintage Colt 454 CP. He squeezed off two shots, and the second wanged off the front offside wheel hub of one of the trucks as Christy dove out of sight around its fender, still firing short bursts.
Maim her, but don't kill her! I want her alive!
JB dove across the cell and out through the now empty door space. Smoke and concrete dust rose like a fog in the narrow area beyond, but his eyes took in an M16 lying some distance away. He grabbed it and began automatically checking it as he galloped along the passage, closely pursued by Hunniker. Hunniker, too, was now armed with the other man's auto rifle, another M16. She, too, was galloping. She, too, was spidering her fingers along her piece, tugging out the mag, glancing at it, ramming it back up again. As they neared the bottom of the steps, two men appeared at the top, in the room with the bloodstained block in it. JB mentally crossed his fingers, uttered a brief prayer to the only two gods he worshipped, the god of good fortune and the god of ingenuity, and squeezed off a controlled burst on the sprint.
Behind me! Hit the upper steps!
JB jumped ahead of the girl and sprang up the steps, keeping tight to the left-hand wall. He squeezed the trigger and used up his entire mag, firing up and over the top of the steps at the ceiling, then dropping his angle of fire as he reached the room. He sprayed death around it. He dove at the floor, and Hunniker behind him suddenly had three perfect targets on the top set of steps. Three sec men fleeing in panic, lunging for an escape route.
I got him!
Her fire line caught them as they bunched in the narrow stairway, scrambling to get out. Apart from the two guys that JB had shot from below, there were two more stiffs in the room who'd caught his bullets, one on the floor, the other sprawled drunkenly across the wood block, new blood from him sluggishly pooling out and soaking into the old. JB's eyes darted around the room. He spotted an auto rifle lying inches from the outstretched fingers of the man lying on the floor, a stubby Steyr AUG with a long barrel.
That nuke shitter had my piece!
He swiped it up and began to check it out feverishly as Hunniker threw down the M16 she'd been holding and picked up another. She ran to the bottom of the upper steps, squeezed off a 3-round burst around the wall angle, and risked a look up. No one at the top, but she could hear a babble of voices from the huge upper room, and then she had to duck back as rounds flayed the stairwell above, spraying brick and concrete shards on her. She turned to JB, who was busy field-stripping the AUG.
Hell! We could have worked ourselves into a corner here, JB!
Shit! Fucker only had it an hour. See that dent? Here on the stock? See that? And the asshole only had it an hour!
God damn it, JB!
Yeah?
Could be we're stuck down here, JB!
Grenade the bastards out! Fucking vandals!
JB, it's only a dent.
JB glared at Hunniker murderously, his eyes simmering behind his adopted steel-rimmed glasses. Hunniker turned away from him. Sam was stuffing herself with hardware, while Cole collected spare mags for an M16 he'd picked up. He tossed a couple of HEs in her direction.
Hey, JB. Let's get out of here, like Hun says. Can polish your butt later, man.
JB shot him a dark look, but nodded. Suddenly, Sam's head jerked up. She rose from where she'd been squatting beside one of the stiffs on the floor. Her eyes widened, the whites contrasting starkly with her velvety black skin.
I heard a bang.
A second later, another burst of firing clattered out from above, and they had to duck to one side as lead ricocheted around the room. When Samantha the Panther said she'd heard something no one else had, it was advisable not to laugh it off. JB slid a 30-round mag up into the stire.
What kind of bang?
Big one. And a rumble. You didn't feel it.
I didn't feel it, but I trust you. Come on, JB. I don't want to hang around down here if they got something nasty waiting up there.
There was silence. The subgunner had ceased firing. Not even the sec men themselves could be heard. Nothing could be heard. Nothing at all.
I hear another.
Okay, let's beat it. Hunniker, give me a grenade. Call, Sam, cover us.
Cole slid to the corner angle of the steps, poked his M16 around, and fired a long burst. And as he did so, Sam sprang to the other side of the stairway and fired two, straight up, her body hunched, the rifle spitting lead, the sound racketing shockingly around the echo chamber of the stairwell. JB and Hunniker unpinned the eggs, counted, darted forward, and almost as one, hurled the grenades upward. The two eggs sailed high and disappeared from view beyond the top step.
Let's do it!
JB hurled himself up the steps as dust and smoke billowed at him, roiling around the stairwell. He hit the top and sprayed lead into the fog with the stire, Hunniker behind him, her own auto rifle chattering in a wide sweep. The room was long and wide, formerly the high-ceilinged entrance lobby to the bank. At the far end were two massive doors, each one a wood sandwich enclosed by pierced steel planking, triple thickness. The counter of the bank remained, but nothing else. Strasser's Sekhmen had turned the place into a recreation room, with chairs, tables, closets stuffed with weapons. Now the furniture was blasted apart by the HEs. Bodies lay around, either slumped like piles of old clothes or in contorted heaps. Long windows to the left had all blown out, the glass and the steel shuddering together.
Holy shit! Look!
She pointed at the windows. Instead of darkness, a lurid and vibrant light throbbed redly. But this was no Deathland sky effect caused by the rich chemical mix in the atmosphere, a blend that often transformed night into bizarre day, with a glow that made the northern aurora look off color.
That's a fire!
Hunniker felt herself lifted from the floor by a shockwave that slammed into her sickeningly. For a second, she felt almost weightless as she flew backward through the air, and then she saw, as though in a dream, the two vast doors splitting apart and bowling toward her across the room in an orange eruption. She thought they looked like cardboard doors. Then she thudded back against something hard and blacked out. Ryan, still bound at the wrists, couldn't locate Christy, but knew she was somewhere on the far side of the line of Strasser's vehicles parked by the road. Then, four men running for the rear end of the line were bowled over by a burst of fire at ground level. She was shooting low, from beneath one of the trucks. It was as though the men had been scythed. Ryan strained at the cords gripping his wrists as Strasser began to run. And then everything stopped dead as the murky darkness of the east burst apart with a terrible fire. Ryan backheeled viciously at the sec man behind him. There was a lot of good shit aboard that train, Ryan thought. He felt within him almost a kind of pride. He raced for the war wag. Light from afar danced on its side.
No! Kill him!
Ryan began dodging, weaving as best he could, at the same time desperately trying to keep himself upright. His arms were still wrenched behind him, and there seemed no damn give whatever to his wrist cords. Then his boot caught in an animal hole, and he was flying through the air. He rolled as he landed automatically.